Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
First down lets you walk out of here with a win. Third down and 3 from the Houston 48 I formation. Stroud digs in. Here's the snap. Here's the toss to Mixon running right across the 50, 45. Tackled by Cross at the 41. Checkmate. That'll do it. The Texans will beat the Colts on opening day.
Mark Vandermeer on the call. That was the game-clinching third-down conversion against the Colts on Sunday. That, plus the other 29 carries that he had for a buck 59, got Joe Mixon AFC Offensive Player of the Week honors yesterday. So Mixon, in his first week as a Texan, is already the best player at football on the offensive side in the AFC so far.
Already, yeah.
One week in.
Yeah. Now, 30 carries a game. Not likely the plan for the entire season, but it is. Look, they played a game plan, the Colts did, where they just flat out played a lot of soft coverages, just trying to limit the passing attack. And I don't want to say they conceded the run. I think they thought, well, our front seven can handle this pathetic Texans run-blocking offensive line. And the offensive line, and I'll add Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz to that, did a great job. And the other thing, too, about Mixon that doesn't show up on the stat line was I went back and I watched the blitzes yesterday with Drew Hodgson, former Texans center, just the blitz pickups, and, man, Mixon was awesome. Mixon was really good in pass protection. Ogunbowale and Damian Pierce were good in pass protection. The whole nuts and bolts football fundamental side of things for the Texans offense this year looks so much better. Yeah. And obviously Joe Mixon himself as a runner was just really, really good. But there's more to it than just the rushing yardage. Man, he is a shot in the arm in a lot of ways.
Yeah, here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday talking about what Joe Mixon brings to the offense.
I think Joe brings confidence, right? He brings confidence. He brings a energy, a swagger to our offense, right? The way he works at practice each and every day, guys feel that swagger. They feel that confidence, the energy that he brings, and that means a lot. When you know you're handing the ball to a guy who is as confident as ever, like, it means a lot to the offensive line. It gives them confidence to block a little longer, finish a little stronger, right? And that's just everybody around him, right, feels the energy that he provides.
So, Joe Mixon, 101 of his 159 yards after contact. So two-thirds of his yards came after contact. That passes the eye test from the game. We'll hear from Nick Caserio in a second. I know it's 1 week. But as I've watched Joe Mixon, like, interact with his teammates, interact, like, he, you know, talking to the team after the game, all the stuff that we've had a window into, and then obviously the play on the field in week one, I'm wondering, like, wait, like, why was Cincinnati so anxious to get rid of Joe Mixon? You know,
right? It is. I mean, we've talked about this before. The Joe Mixon, his style isn't suited best to what the Bengals were doing last year. They've turned into a team that's almost exclusively shotgun all the time. It's not a conventional rushing attack. And I wonder if the Bengals even realized it, or if they just thought, all right, Joe Mixon's on his decline.
Yeah.
But you see, and it's not like Joe Mixon can't run when they're in shotgun formations. Right. He's had some very good plays last year and on Sunday running out of the gun.
Yeah.
But when you really want to use him at his best, he's 7 yards deep in the backfield and just getting a full head of steam before he either hits the hole or before he makes his cutback. Because his vision is so good, he really creates a lot of stress on that defense, but especially when you get him running and he's got time to read the flow of the defense. It's a much better scheme fit for him this year.
Yeah, I just And now, look, they replaced him with a cheaper alternative, so money may have had something to do with it. Now, you know, the Bengals, yeah. Bengals are one of these teams that's paying a quarterback now, and they're paying T. Higgins a franchise. They didn't even get to a deal with Jamar Chase. You know, that's where they are right now. So I'm guessing finances, it's not like he was breaking the bank. I mean, he was a decently paid running back. I just think, and especially with the way things are going in Cincinnati one weekend. I mean, they lost to the Patriots in week one, and they play the Chiefs on Sunday this week in Kansas City. I mean, and Joe Burrow is rubbing his wrists now, and that's been the big story the last 24 hours is all the Zapruder film and analysis going on with Joe Burrow and his wrist injury. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad Joe Mixon's on the Texans, but I'm really, it's a head-scratcher that it's
interesting though the fact that Zach Moss was the replacement. I think that's the part that was a little bit of a surprise, and I wonder if, you know, like, were the Bengals really thinking that they were going to get something out of Zach Moss that he's never really showed in his career?
Right,
he's had his career high is 794 yards rushing, and on 4.3 yards per attempt, and it was respectable enough. You know, it's not like he was a schmuck against the Texans or anything when he was with the Colts, but. It's not Joe Mixon, whether Joe Mixon's in his prime or not. Yeah, the Bengals could really be they might end up, like, obviously I don't want to read too much into week one, but there's a lot going on there in Cincinnati. They could end up being a huge disappointment.
Yeah, they're probably going to be 0-2 after this week, you know.
Especially if Joe Mixon goes off this year for the Texans.
Yeah.
That's a real bad feel for Bengals fans and a bad look for the organization, right?
Yeah, no question.
By the way, I was on in Chicago yesterday.
Oh, and, what station? Our sister station?
970.
670. Was it 670? You're a 970?
Probably, okay. Yeah. There was a number before a 70.
Yeah, 670.
It was an upside down 9. Yeah. So, yeah, 670.
Yeah.
And one of our listeners who lives in Chicago, Eddie Hassan, reminded me that one of the questions they asked was, so is there a lot of chatter in Houston about, you know, Caleb Williams being the next CJ Stroud? And I have no memory. I don't remember. I asked Eddie. Eddie had tweeted it to me. He had reminded me that they asked me, and I said, what did I answer to that? Because I remember kind of being, I felt like I was blindsided by it wasn't supposed to be a hard question or anything. And I just thought, no, I don't think a single person, the one thing I pointed out to them, I mean, the one interesting thing is that the Bears could have easily drafted C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
You know, like, Ryan Poles could have drafted C.J. Stroud. So this game, I haven't seen this in the national media at all. It's that the Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, he could have drafted C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, the first
so if
pick
Caleb
the draft.
Williams, they did ask me when did it kind of click for C.J., and I said, well, ironically enough, it was in the second game last year when it wasn't an alarming performance in the Ravens game last year. Not like Caleb Williams' performance in week one this year.
Right, right, right.
But he didn't, you know, there's nothing about that performance where he said, oh, yep, rookie of the year.
Yeah.
So it was in the second week where maybe they're hoping that Caleb Williams can click this week.
Well, I hope he clicked similar to CJ in that game and that he was clicking while they were trailing by 18 points at halftime. That would be good. That would mean
I don't want him to at all. I want Ryan Poles to have the laser focus of everybody's attention on, wait a second, okay, so Caleb Williams looks like the new Bryce Young, and you could have drafted C.J. Stroud, but you're the genius somehow?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is funny, man. Like, C.J. has recalibrated. Like, every question about rookie quarterbacks this year included C.J. Stroud's name in it. You know, like, Stroud-like effect, and can he be the next C.J. Stroud? And it's C.J.'s
remarkable. It's interesting that, and I try to, whenever I'm in out of market, I try to explain that. It's like, it's not a slight against any other rookie quarterback,
right?
But 670 there had Kurt Warner on earlier in the show or the day before.
Yeah.
And Kurt had done a good job of laying out just how rare it is what CJ is doing mentally.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't think you can expect that out of Caleb Williams coming out of, Lincoln's offense.
Lincoln Riley's offense.
Yeah.
Nick Caserio was on Texans All Access this week. He appears on there weekly with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. It's always a good conversation. This was interesting. He talked about kind of the mechanics of acquiring Joe Mixon, like what was happening for that 24-hour period, because we know that was one of those situations where word got out that Cincinnati was cutting Joe Mixon, probably as a mechanism to do what exactly happened, which was get some GMs to call them so they could at least get something for him. Ended up being a seventh round pick. The interesting part with this cut, take a listen to it, is Nick actually mixes in a couple other names that the Texans were interested in re-signing or signing.
The exact timing of it was, it was overnight. They were announced that they were moving on from Joe, or they're going to release Joe. So anytime that something is done after the 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock central time period, it's not going to go on the wire and it's not going to be official until the following day at the 3 o'clock. So you have about 24 hours. So we were kind of working through that whole process. We were involved, you know, made an attempt to re-sign Motor. You know, we were involved in some of the Barkley stuff as well. That was a position that we knew we were going to add a player at some point in some capacity. So when the opportunity presented itself with Mixon, it was something that we discussed internally. We had the discussion actually that morning. Coaching staff kind of went through it on their end. D'Amico and I had a conversation about it and then kind of made a decision. Well, look, if this is what the cost is, then it might be worth doing, because we thought we had the ability to acquire a player that everybody liked that we thought could help our football team.
So the interesting thing there, the thing that caught everybody's attention, because we know what ended up happening. They trade a seventh for Mixon. Nick went on to talk about why they gave him the contract extension. It's a good interview. But the part where he said we were in on some of the Barkley stuff got people's attention, which was reported, but it's always more interesting to hear it come right from the horse's mouth, you know?
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
It's right. And
after the fact, too.
I guess, if Mixon had been held to 49 yards rushing on 30 carries, I don't know if you would have thrown that out there. Yep. But so far, so good. It's not like Nick's the kind of guy that's going to take a victory lap or anything. Saquon Barkley. I mean, after week one, if anything, it's a big victory for running backs in general, I guess. No. Both of these guys are over that age of 27 that Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, wouldn't stop talking about during Hard Knocks offseason. And, you know, they were both very valuable in week one for their respective teams. So this is not like a peeing contest between Joe Mixon and Saquon Barkley at this point. Mm-hmm. There is a certain part of Joe Mixon's game that I do like in comparison to Saquon, and it's just his ability to grind out yardage.
Yeah.
And that if you're trying to sustain drives, if you're trying to close out wins, Joe Mixon over the course of his career has more steadily ground out successful rushing attempts.
He's a closer.
Like Barkley will get wrapped up the line of scrimmage at times if the blocking is imperfect. Joe Mixon had some really good blocking in front of him in that game, but also did really well with imperfect blocking at times. He made the O-line right at times in a way that Saquon doesn't always do.
Yeah,
that's not a slight. Saquon Barkley would have been awesome, you know?
If we had Saquon, dude, yeah, that would have been fun for sure. But if you know how they do the at camp, at practice set, they do the situational stuff where on that big scoreboard they put first and 10, 34-yard line, you got a minute one, you're trailing by 6, go. If somebody handed me the situation, there's 4 minutes left in a game, you're up by 6, and you're starting at your own 30-yard line, you can take Saquon Barkley or Joe Mixon. I'm taking Joe Mixon in that situation. Yeah. You know, like to do what exactly happened against the Colts on Sunday at the end of the game.
Do you want to hear how I responded, or I can tell you how I responded to that question about Caleb Williams being the next?
Yes.
Okay. So Eddie Hassan, our listener who lives in Chicago, says that the question started with, so Seth, there is much chatter in Houston on how Caleb is the next CJ. And I told Eddie, like, God, I kind of blanked out. What did I say on that? He said, Seth, you're a true politician. Just sideswiped it and started talking about the natural rivalry with high draft picks and smooth transition to the newfound running game. I've re-listened to the question like 10 times, and each time I get more aggravated.
I'm aggravated at you. That you straddled the line and gave a politically correct answer to it. You needed to say.
I was honestly a little bit. I honestly, in the moment, was kind of. I felt sideswiped by a question that wasn't intended to be a gotcha or anything, because it was so far from anything I had even really... They basically were asking as part of that question also, is like, is that the big fan chatter in Houston? And I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think, like, Caleb Williams, it's kind of like that meme from Don Draper in Mad Men, where he says, I don't think about you at all.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit like, we're like, no, I've got...
That would have been good. Okay, I think the answer, and I'm saying this without having heard the actual audio, so this is just what you and Eddie Hassan are telling me. I would have been really excited about one of two answers. One, that, where you're like, God, no, we don't talk. Why would we talk about Caleb Williams? We barely remember that he's your quarterback. Or two, like, yeah, we talk about it. We talk about how freaking stupid it is that he gets compared to C.J. Stroud. Nobody gets compared to C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. It's not a C.J. versus anybody. It's C.J. and the way he operated as a rookie quarterback compared to just about every rookie quarterback that I've seen in my lifetime.
Right,
It was just different mentally.
Joe Mixon, man. Joe Mixon, the sixth time that a Texans running back has won AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Singletary won it last year, like less than a season ago. But before that, the last time was 12 years prior with Arian Foster. They went 12 years without a running back winning AFC Offensive Player of the Week. You almost win those by accident, like sometimes your team. You know what I mean? Like,
if
it's 12 years, you don't get one running back go off.
It is. Yeah. Like, yeah. Some random guy that's not actually ends up being any good or anything.
There's a lot of randos on the Texans. Anytime somebody wins Offensive or Defensive or Special Teams Player of the Week, they send the entire list out in the history of the team. That's won an award like that. Like, Tavier Thomas was Defensive Player of the Week one week back in the Cully season, you know?
Yeah. Even Lamar Miller at some point, I would have thought he would have gotten it.
Yeah.
You know, Lamar Miller was a quality back.
Hey.
You know, like, I feel bad that people barely even remember that he was a Texan.
He probably did in that game against the Texans back in 2015 that made them sign him.
But Lamar Miller had, I'm surprised that Lamar Miller didn't at least pick up one. Like,
yeah.
Not even throwing shade at him. He was a good running back.
He's a good running back. He had that big game against the Titans the week after Mr. McNair died, and Vandy had that great call on that touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought maybe like that week or something. I'm with you. All right, Payne and Pendergast, let's get to headlines. We have a lot of headlines to get to with the Astros, and at least today, none of them are good. We've got other Texans headlines, a little bit of injury news. Are we concerned about this with the Texans? And yes, there has been a statement from Rusty Harden on the Deshaun Watson situation, so brace yourself for that. We'll get to that in headlines coming up next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.